Welcome again to Neighbors Church. I'm glad that you guys are here. We are doing second part of a two-part series, little mini thing that we're doing here, called Two Words That Can Sometimes Make Us Feel a Bit Uncomfortable. Now, last week, the word was, Worship. The word was worship. And if you'd like to, like, maybe I need to look at that one again, but if you want to go back, you can look back on our YouTube page or our Facebook page or our podcast. Did the podcast, it got put up. Okay, so we have different versions of that. And again, I implore you to share the messages of Neighbors. Help us to get the word out there that Neighbors is still here. It is all part of spreading the word of the love of God. And that brings us actually to our second word, one that a lot of people really do find uncomfortable sometimes. And that word is evangelism. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, exactly. Evangelism, evangelical, evangelist, they have morphed quite a bit over history. Evangelism is actually, the term of evangelism is meant to be spreading the word of God, spreading the good news of God. The early Christians were evangelists. That's why we have Christianity still. That's why we're aware of it today, is because they kept sharing that with their neighbors, and their neighbors kept sharing it with other neighbors, and that's why we have it today. But as we know, the word evangelism, well, we see it oftentimes when we come up with politics or we do things like that. And some people have a love-hate relationship with this word. And so sometimes this word really does, as far as Christians on the full gamut, it does cause a little bit of uncomfortableness for us. And that's why I want to talk. Speaking of uncomfortable, I want to show you the scripture text that I'm going to be using today actually comes from what they believe was the first gospel that was ever written, was the book of Mark. And Mark 16, 14 through 18, it starts out with, he appeared to the 11, that's the 11 disciples. Judas at this time had taken his own life out of remorse. He appeared to the 11 as they were sitting at the table. And he scolded them for their lack of faith and stubbornness, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned." Yikes. "And these signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." That verse and others like it has taken on different meanings. People have interpreted it in different ways. Because of that, we actually have churches that part of their worship is to handle snakes, deadly snakes. And oftentimes the people that do this get bitten, poisoned, and they get in serious condition and all of this kind of stuff. We have people that go on television as faith healers, and they bring up a line of people, and the person says, "I got a thing right here." And so the guy just like smacks him with the love of God. And then the guy just, you know, they're able to walk again and all this kind of stuff. And then they ask for, you know, money so they can buy that jet. But we have different gambits of all of these kind of things. And the other thing, too, is, you know, if you are not a believer, you're condemned. And sometimes that's been taken very harshly. I know people, and a lot of us do know people, that have left this world in various ways, whether they were believers or not. And we struggle with that, don't we? I mean, honestly, we do, because we loved those people. and we think about the condemn, you know, how can they condemn and all that kind of stuff. So it can be taken in different ways. A lot of these scripture lines can be taken throughout the gamut. Many people know that know me know that I was not always a practicing Christian. I mean, if people asked me if I was Christian or not, I'd say yes, but I never really knew what that meant. I never really cared what that meant. I would maybe watch Scrooge or a Charlie Brown Christmas around Christmas. Around Easter, I might die an egg or two, but I never really went any further than that. Sometimes I would flirt with, maybe I should go to a Christmas Eve service at church, or maybe I should do this Easter thing over here, you know, and every once in a while I would question, you know, things like that. But I never had the strong faith. And many times when I looked at Christians in this world, I would see them as people that were better than me. I would see them as people that deserved God's love, whereas I didn't, because I was aware that I was not a follower of God per se. But I was aware that the things that I was doing with my life at that time were often destructive things, often harmful things to myself and to other people. And so it took me a while to find my faith. And I was an adult before I ever really truly started to understand. I started going to church because of a girlfriend. And I went to church just because she went to church. And I wanted to stay her boyfriend. And it meant nothing to me. And even throughout some of my first visitations of church, it didn't mean a lot to me. I still struggled with things of that this was for the people that deserved it, but I wasn't one of them. I had great insecurity in my life. I had great voices inside me that were continually telling me that I was not worth it, that I was a terrible person. You name it, that's what was wrong with me. When it came to anything from cognitive thought, intelligence, physical appearance, success, haves, have-nots. It was, those were the things I would tell myself were all the negative side of those. And you live that world and you think, who would ever want to listen to me? Who would ever want to even engage in really a meaningful conversation with me? And so my go-to was humor and sarcasm. I became a comedian and I started doing comedy and commercials and things like that, because that's the measure that I thought. I thought I was only as good as my sarcasm. I was only as good as my limitation of jokes. But if you wanted to talk about anything deeper than that, I wasn't worth it. And as I started going to churches and things like that, I started to attend this one church. And by then, the girlfriend was gone. But I still started to go to this church because the curiosity started to come into play a little bit more. And I started to see that there were people that were accepting of even people like me, and I couldn't figure that out, and so I still wanted to learn what that was about. And I found out that the more that I started to engage myself in the thought of the messages, I loved the church that I went to, I loved listening to the messages, because it made me think. It made me think about where I was in my life. It made me think about where God was in my life. And this church, they started to give away evangelizing campaign. At the time, there were these, everybody was wearing these rubber bracelets, you know, they always had the different things on them. You probably had some, Will, didn't you? The Live Strong, yeah, like that. And so this one just said something like Jesus with a heart on it or something like that. It had a heart on each side, and then it said Jesus in the middle or Christ or something like that. And they handed those out for free. And so I took one, and I started to wear it because well, I'm not sure why I started to wear it. It looked kind of cool. It was like this kind of darker color, so it looked kind of manly. And so I thought I was hip, you know, but I was scared to show it to people. You know, because I thought that what would happen is that somebody would ask me about it. And then I would be either embarrassed to talk about, you know, Jesus, or, you know, worried about social etiquette. But more importantly, I was worried about that they didn't probably want to hear what I had to say. And that I wasn't knowledgeable. They might ask me some questions, and I didn't know what those answers would be. So the insecurities and the lack of love for self really played a huge part in me not wanting to share this bracelet. I still wore it because I felt like I was trying to even develop a relationship with Jesus. I'm not sure. I'm not sure at this time, honestly, why I started to wear this bracelet. But I did, you know. And then I got this call from an old friend, a friend that I had not seen or heard from for many, many years. As a youth, I got into trouble with many things. I drank too much. I smoked too much dope. I did things that were just not good. And at the age of 14, I was put into a treatment facility for 2 months. And this was a friend that came from that treatment facility, a person that also struggled, a person that also made bad choices. If you want to know somebody that knows what it's like to have made bad choices, you got them right here. If there's a wrong way to do things, I know what that road is like. And there are parts when you live that life that you get caught in this thing where you are forever kicking yourself, blaming yourself, and telling yourself that you're not worth it, telling yourself that nobody wants to hear from you, telling yourself that nobody wants to hear your thoughts. Even if somebody is in harm's way, you tell yourself, but they don't want to hear my encouragement. Who am I? I'm just a doofus. I'm trash. And this friend called me, found my number, and reached out to me and wanted to see how I was doing. And at the time, I mean, I thought I was doing okay. I wasn't, at this time, I wasn't breaking any laws. I wasn't, abusing any drugs or anything like that. I had a son. I was working to be a good father as best I could. And I was trying to figure out this whole God thing. And so we met. And we met for coffee, I believe. And we're talking. And I have, this started when I was in stand-up, but the stand-up heroes that I had always talked with their hands. So you'll always see me just talking with their hands. If you ever want to see something funny, play back the video of this sermon silently in fast motion, and I'll look like a baby chick trying to fly. But I was gesturing, and they noticed the bracelet that I had. And throughout this conversation, I knew that this person was not doing very well. And in fact, the reason that they reached out to me was not to celebrate life or to celebrate where we had become, how we were as teenagers, but where we were. In fact, many times when I looked at this person, I saw the same person that was struggling oh so many years ago. And they continued to struggle. And they were continuing to make life choices that were harmful. Harmful to them and harmful to other people. And I tried to, as much as I could, to sit there and talk to him and to tell her that it was going to be okay, that life is worth more, and there are ways that you can better yourself in this world. But then they asked, what's that what's that bracelet you have? And that was my chance. That was my chance. I could have said, I wear that to know that I'm loved. I wear that to know that I'm accepted in this world. I wear that to know that that I have a God, a creator, that loves me and that loves you too. I could have said all those things. But instead I said, oh, it's nothing. Just something somebody gave me. And I left it at that. And even though we talked and shared about some things, even though that I was felt like I was kind of entering this world of Christ, I never shared it. I never shared it to somebody who really, really could have used it at that time. And that person was the reason that they were meeting with me. One of the other reasons that they were meeting with me is that they were moving. And I don't know where they are now. Because I was afraid, because I was uncertain, because I was insecure with who I was, because I didn't know what to say, I had an opportunity to share something quite lovely, quite nurturing, to share something bigger than myself with another person. I had the opportunity to share pure, pure love, pure unconditional love. And a time when that's what they really needed to hear. And I let it go. And I find myself now, years later, praying. Sometimes even when we have things in our lives that we've bettered ourselves in, we still look back on the things that we did and with regret and with shame. And that's one of them. I wish I had the words then. As my life continued, I explored faith even more. And somehow something started to finally click a little bit for me. I finally started to kind of get what these Christians were talking about. I started to have conversations of my own with God. We call it prayer, I call it conversation. I started to ask questions. I started to investigate it more. And the more that I started to live with my life the way that I thought that Christ wanted me to live that life, the more that I felt changed. The more that I truly felt changed. Yes, I still struggle sometimes. I still struggle with if somebody is in need or hurting, I still hear those voices of, they don't really want to hear from me, do they? I'm not the one that... They don't want to hear from me. But it's my faith that continually challenges that and continually goes beyond that and continues to fight that. It might take me some time sometimes. And since then, I have had many people in my life that have been in the same situation as my friend years ago, and I've been able to talk about my faith. They say the best way to evangelize is just to tell you your story. Tell what happened to you. It's not a sales pitch. It's not an argument to be won. It's not a debate. It's sharing love with somebody. And for a time there, I didn't believe I could ever do that. And so when we look back at these words from the book of Mark, I see it in a different way. For me, he appeared to the 11 as they were sitting at the table, and he scolded them for their lack of faith and stubbornness. He corrected them. He corrected them just as a parent scolds a child. It's not a condemnation. It's not a hateful thing. It is a correction. Jesus was saying, you didn't believe the words of people that I was here, but guess what? I am. I'm going to correct that by showing you that I'm here. And he said to them, go into the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. See, that means to me something right there too. The good news, first off, I never used to hear the good news, but this is good news. It's not something that should make us feel uncomfortable. It's good news. It's like going to a good restaurant. You want to share that with the world. This is good news, and you want to share it with the whole creation? That's everybody. That goes beyond the people in your immediate family or your side of politics. That's everybody. All nations. All creation. That means even sharing the love of Christ with animals, environment, everything. That means treating everything with love and dignity and respect. The whole creation. And then the one who believes and is baptized will be saved. But the one who does not believe will be condemned. Some people read this a certain way, but for me, the way that I read it, when I was living my life without Christ in my life, I was condemning myself. I was telling myself that I was nothing but a piece of junk. I was telling myself that I wasn't worth it. I didn't know what it meant to be loved the way that God loves me. The condemnation was me. Was my choice to live outside of love. It was not somebody kicking me out. It was me not even going in. This isn't a, I'm going to get you. This is a, if you don't understand the love of Christ, you're going to be so sad. You're going to be missing out. This is God saying, walk with me. I'm right here. I have unconditional love for you. I just want you to feel that. We can condemn ourselves in our own lifetime. And I did. I made myself feel so unworthy of God's love that I condemned everything that I did about myself to where I could not share any love with a person that really needed it. God was all around me. Looking back, I can see all the times in my life that God was there. That God was there. God was saying, hey. That God was saying, I know that you disbelieve, but here I am. Tell them about me. Tell yourself about me. It's just love. Don't fear it. Accept it. And these signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name, they will cast out demons. Now, we often look at this as someone going, hey, dibba-doo, and someone's just, you know, suddenly they're... If you've lived with major insecurity, if you've lived with major anxiety, if you've lived with major low self-worth, if you've lived a life where you do not feel like you have that you have not earned the right to breathe, that is a demon. Those are demons in our lives. You know, Jesus spoke metaphorically so many times. He used metaphor all of his life. So some of this stuff, we don't have to take, some people will take it, everything real. When Jesus said he was the bread of life, he did not mean that he was a loaf of bread. He did not mean that he came in a wonder bag. He meant that who he was gave life. And when he's talking about demons, yeah, he might be talking about all kinds of stuff. For me, personally, those demons were the things that were keeping me from ever feeling like I was worth anything. And by the time that I was believing and the time that I was following Christ and the time I understood that Jesus was actually love, not condemnation, but love and acceptance, some of those demons, they started to go away. Some of those were never a problem again. They will speak in new tongues. Some people, they believe that that means that they will speak in different non-coherent things. Some people believe that, like in Pentecost, that it gave the people the ability to communicate in other languages to other people. For me, speaking in new tongues meant learning new things. Meant learning new words in my life. Forgiveness. I got to speak about forgiveness. Forgiving others and forgiving myself. I got to speak about words like grace. I got to speak about words like joy, acceptance, tolerance, love, inviting, welcoming, celebrating. Those were the new tongues that I was speaking in my life. Those were tongues that I didn't fully understand or believe. Those were the new tongues that I was experiencing because I had found a purity of love. And for the first time, I was starting to realize what that actually meant. They will pick up snakes in their hands. Yes, we do have people that do think that that's what they're talking about. You know, and when Jesus, when they talk about in prophecy of he will step on the snake, a lot of that is metaphor of evil. And for me, I've been able to grasp hold of things in my life and confront them. I've been able to look at the things and the bad behavior in my life, the snakes in my life, the things that I was doing to myself, the choices that I was making, and I was able to face them. I was able to sit down with people and talk about things that I had done wrong with my life, things that I had done wrong to other people. I was able to take these things that at once, because I was so down on myself and hated myself so much and didn't think that I could do anything about, I was able to grasp those things into my bare hands and talk about it. Those were my snakes. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. A lot of times you see the things that they like to come back. When I say some of the demons I've gotten rid of, because I still have insecurities and things like that. And I still have those things that I struggle with, but they're different now. Whenever something like that comes into my life, I'm able to say, to digest it and I'm able to deal with it. It doesn't plague me anymore. Those are the poisons that have surrounded me all of my life. And for the first half of my life, they controlled me, they condemned me. But now I'm able to take them in and cast them away. And this is probably one of the most important ones. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. The reason I'm able to do all this stuff, I don't want this to turn into a, I once was lost, but now I'm completely found. I once found, didn't have God, now I have God, and everything is peaches and cream. I don't like peaches and cream. anyway. What that means to me, there are people that have been able to work with the sick. One of the easiest ways that we can help heal sickness is by showing respect for our neighbor and just wearing a mask. But one of the other things that we can do is we can sit with a neighbor. And we can talk about those issues. We can talk about the demons in our life and the fear. We can talk about the things, the new words that we're learning. We can talk about resentments and anxieties. We can talk about advances in mental health, even medication, physical help. But we can help each other. We can help each other as we continue to struggle, and we will continue to struggle. Those demons, those snakes that I dealt with in my life, they do come back. Quite honestly, I had a friend that was going through some health issues, and I was praying for them. But I had that voice in my head, too, that thought, oh, they don't really want to hear from me, do they? And thank God she corrected me on it and said, yeah, I do. We help each other. We lay our hands on each other. And together we heal as a community and as neighbors. We heal. And that's how we share the good news. That's how we evangelize. We just tell people about love. Evangelism is not standing up and telling people how to vote, how to live their lives. It's not telling people that if they pray enough, they're going to get that new job or that big parking space. Evangelism is about sitting with a neighbor and telling our story and listening to theirs. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, gracious and loving God, help us not to condemn ourselves. Correct us when we disbelieve. Help us to handle those snakes in our lives. Help us to fight the demons that plague us. And help us to continue to learn new words. Words like love. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. My friends, I hope that you know the presence of God is with you. I hope that you see the presence of God every day. We have a lot of things in our life and a lot of things that are trying to tell us the opposite. But I know that God is with us. And I know that God is love. If you're being told that a way of following God is to not love, I pray that you seek a second opinion. God is love. Love for us. Love for our neighbors. I pray that you find them. I pray that you share your story. This week, please find a way to share God's love. You can hit share on the page. You can invite somebody for a virtual coffee. You can tell people about how God affects you in your life. I pray that we do that. Love God, love yourself, love your neighbor. Amen.